My beloved people, first of all this morning, I wish to bring to your attention and ask you for your very special prayers for a wonderful priest who works on the western end of our country, Father Mario Blanco. He had a stroke yesterday, and I don't think it's all that terribly bad, but it's not all that terribly good either. So please pray for him. He's truly a good traditional priest. He is not one of those who permits or allows or teaches the bizarre type of Catholic traditionalism that some people like to promote nowadays. He is a Catholic priest and a good Catholic traditional priest, and there's not many of that kind left. So we cannot spare him, we cannot afford to lose him, so please pray for him. He was away from home yesterday because he travels here, there, and everywhere, and as a matter of fact, he's in a hospital someplace in California. His home base is in the state of Washington. I also ask you to pray in a very special way for the poor, poor people of Honduras and Nicaragua who have certainly undergone a terrific amount of punishment, and we know, you know both more about it than I do, or we do, how many are dead, how many are lost, how many are suffering, how many are homeless. These are all things that we who sit well in our own comforts cannot really appreciate. We cannot really understand such terrible things. So at least let us pray for these people who are suffering so. For the rest, the things are beginning to show up in the bulletin now concerning the coming season of Advent, as we need to prepare ourselves for it. And every caution is taken in that we present ourselves as truly Catholic, and that we present ourselves in a truly Catholic way of life. Today, we find that it's like the swinging pendulum. Those that have swung way to the left, now when they decide that the pendulum has to swing in the other direction, go way to the right. And too far right is just as bad as too far left. And too far right is not any more Catholic than too far left. And we have to be careful that our Catholicity is truly Catholic according to the way that it was before people started putting a traditional, a personal interpretation on what is Catholic. The people who have written the book according to themselves. So let us be careful that we have the objective reality. And you'll notice too that there was little things that come up in the reading of our Gospels and epistles, that little thoughts come up and we let them pass by sometimes without notice. Please notice in today's Gospel reading that when our Lord appeared to bring life back to the little girl, they laughed at him. And they laughed at him seriously because they thought he was a nut. What did he do? Did he sit there and try to persuade them that he wasn't a nut? Did he try to sit there and tell them what can be done with prayer? He didn't bother, did he? He had him put outside and shut the door on him. because he didn't have time. He didn't have time to spend with people who laughed at that which was right. He shut the door, said nothing, went about his business, and took care of it admirably. And we find that this was true of him wherever we run into him and whenever we run into him. He did not waste time trying to prove anything to anybody. He had his life to live. He had his life to lead. Now today, too much of our own way of religious practice is unfortunately in the hands of people who expose and present our teaching in such a way that it is indeed laughable. I present this to you lest perhaps you might have heard, lest perhaps, without mentioning names, lest perhaps you yourselves might have received information. But in the past week or 10 days, we have, believe it or not, elected a pope. He took the name of Pius the 13th. I think about 12 or 13 people at his instigation by telephone, the telephone conclave, they elected him. And of course he accepted the office, which he himself brought about. He accepted the office with hesitation. And he sent out letters to everybody telling them that he was now the duly elected pope and that he was there for the church and that he placed everybody under his command to obey him. And if they failed to obey him, who is incidentally the only Catholic priest left on earth, that if they did not obey him, they would be damned. You've heard of the term sedi vacantis, haven't you? I'm sure you have. You remember back in the 60s and the early 70s when the kids used to crowd into the telephone booths to see how many they could crowd into the booth. I don't know what they call the game. The chair of Peter is by no means empty. They've got as many popes crowding onto this chair today as they had kids crowding into the telephone booths once upon a time. And traditionalism has fallen into the hands of circus people. We can't do that, my dear people. I won't let you. And we have never here ever had a serious discussion of things because we don't permit it. You, my blessed people, come here for one reason and one reason only. And that reason is to give worship to God and to hear Mass. throughout the country, there are groups of people who have made of tradition a joke. And they have presented a theology that is anything but Catholic, anything but right. We are here to pray. We're not here to be strange or bizarre. We weren't before. When I was growing up, we weren't bizarre. Oh yes, we were classified as bizarre by the unbelievers. We were just living the life, the vesture that Almighty God placed upon us as human beings. And this vesture which he placed upon us as human beings is the best vesture fitting for God himself, which tells us that when God himself came to earth, he took our vesture and he took the form of us. He didn't come here as something from outer space. He came here as one of us. And so much like one of us, so very much like one of us, that he was unnoticed and was unnoticeable. That's how much like us he was. Because he had to show us. He had to tell us. He had to teach us that if we want to save our immortal souls, this is the way that God himself would do it in order to save a soul. Now, when we present ourselves and make of ourselves something that is above and beyond even Jesus Christ himself, there is something about that that's wrong. Every one of us is weak. Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us would like to save our mortal souls. And if we want to save our mortal souls, the only place to go is to Christ himself. And he will show us how to do it. And all that we have to do is to take the ordinary things of life that we have to do every day, get up in the morning, go to work in the morning, work all day, go home in the afternoon, put up with this and that and the other, and go home, do our chores at home, and live a Catholic, and live a good life. And we must take those things, getting up in the morning and driving to work, etc., etc., we take them from the natural level and put them where they belong. In the supernatural level. What did our Lord himself do? He worked in the carpenter's shop. He swept the floor. He made chairs. He delivered chairs. And he listened to the complaints of those who were angry because the chair was 3 days late getting to them, or that it had a scratch on it, or that it wasn't built the way they wanted it built. And he stood there and took the abuse. And then when they finally decided to take the chair, he, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God, Creator, out his hand and said, "Please pay me. We need the money to live." We find it hard sometimes to put Jesus where he belongs. We put Jesus in a book that we wrote. And that's why we're in the mess with him today. Either those that are on the left or those that are on the right. We haven't got Jesus Christ where he belongs. And if we imitate him to the left or imitate him to the right, according to the description that we have placed upon him, we're wrong. In either case, we're wrong. And we're teaching our children to be either too much to the left or too much to the right. And as they follow the book that we have written, they themselves will take this book and add to it and subtract from it when they come of age. And believe me, they will. My beloved people, we must try to work at being what we are supposed to be. Other gods, other Christs, other Jesuses. And we have to do this according to the pattern that he, Christ, demonstrated to us. The only thing that they could say about him in trying to find an adequate description, which fell very short, the only description that they could find to point him out was, isn't he the carpenter's son? They didn't even know the name of the carpenter, much less who Christ was. And aren't we supposed to be as he was? Or are we supposed to be better than he was? As we move through life with all of our importance thumping our chests as so many Tarzans, demanding the homage that is due us in our great station in life, my beloved people, that's not the way it's done. And I wonder if Christ had to come back and would take on the form of the human vesture as he did before. I wonder what he would be like if he took on my human vesture. I wonder. I wonder how much human respect he would be able to maintain and inspire and maintain if he came back acting like I act. Is that not a valid question?